G2. Number 4A.
But I was just trying to show that also this operational sense of work, life, Christianity, which we all know, give us a sense of how that linear way is driving everything into the exponential or vertical. Therefore, the more we have within our consciousness a better sense of the word Christ and Christianity, the more we are drawn by the science sense to the vertical, to the being, to the wholeness, and to the isness. Now, this, I said, this gives us here the bridge, so to say, from the operational sense to the structural sense. And I take up now the structural sense of consciousness. And I go out from this because this is really here giving us the, as I said, the bridge. Because, thank you, because if we draw it again and go back, so to say, to what we said about the linear way of the, where we had our seven facts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, standing all by themselves, then we have seen that the order consciousness is that which in the world really is that which is in between. Remember that the linear sense gives to the word, to those seven synonymous terms, really a sense of the word, that which is in between the seven synonymous terms as such. Don't give us a sense of the word. See, that's the funny thing, you see, which we begin to realize that really the thing which we should really learn, or which should be conveyed with a book, with a text, cannot be said with the printed text. The printed text says, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. It's what we interject, it's what we put in between, inter, pretare, in between, which makes the word. Now, we know that now, if we come to the science order, I think I better draw that in another color. And we know this order as the candlestick thing. And if I draw this now in this way and not in a round, with round arms like this, see, then we see that the one doesn't lead anymore to the second, and the second to the third, but that if we have this middle point, this pivot of being, that on this pivot of being hangs a structure, that it hangs a structure, that what is now of interest is not that red thing from one to the other. What is now of greatest interest is now this, and this, and this, and this, you see? It's now putting those seven terms into four, into four groups, making out of a seven a four. It's already reducing something to something by leaving the sequential sense, the linear sense, the red one, leaving that, and see structuring it. Here it is, in this case, a fourfold substructure, or a fourfold, how can I say, it has four points in it, four groups in it. Now, this is the simple, the most simple, can you say the most simple illustration? But the moment we take it further and see what structure can do for us, I refer to that very interesting point of, you know of that example of that little boy Gauss. That little boy Gauss was sitting in the first class in the school, and the teacher came along and said, "Now, you all add, by memory, you all add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. See? Now, the ordinary child is the linear way, the word way. He said 1 and 2 is 3, and 2 and 3 is 6, and 4 is 10. It gets now slowly more till he has to start again from the beginning. But it's quite a long process to do this, you see. But as he did the same as the golden candlestick, he said to himself, "I'm not concerned with these facts. I'm concerned about categories. I'm concerned about groups. I put this whole thing in groups." And so he put this into a group with this, and this with this, and this with this, and this with this, and this with this. So what he had is, in each group, 1 and 10 equal 11, and he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 groups, and 11 times 5 is 55, only that he did it much quicker than I did it now. You see? Can you see what he did? He neglected most of the facts. He neglected the single fact. He took structure. He made out of 10, he made a structure with 5 groups at 10 equal numbers, 10 equal sums. 1 and 10 is 11, 2 and 9 is 11, 3 and 8 is 11, you see. If you just go far back enough to see structure, see, if you have your experience right on your nose, you can't see structure. If anybody is in trouble, he just sees as far as that. He says, "How do I get out of this?" Whereas if you would go back and back and back and see in the greater and greater and greater perspective, then we will see structure. Now, can you see what is the effect of it? It's a great simplification. Yes. Let's say we have to calculate 1 and 2 up to 100. See? Well, he just sees structure, namely that 1, the first and the last is 101, and that there are 50 divided by 100 divided by 2 pairs, namely 50, so that 101 multiplied by 50 is 5,050. What does he use in this case out of 100 facts? Just a few. The moment you see that structure, again, you have that wonderful sense of the principle of redundancy, that you have a redundant presentation of facts, and you say to that redundant fact, "I don't care about it. They are not very interesting." What is interesting is the structure. And so, in this case, in the last one, can you see? In the last one, he just used the first number and the last number, and all the numbers from 2 to 99 he doesn't need. He throws it away, as if they were obsolete. And yet, he calculates quicker. Can you see? We went out from the infinite, at the infinite, religion trying to find those infinite truths. A hell of a job. And the moment we come to the point of structure, we discard, so to say, the factors, the single so-called factors, a single so-called truth, which aren't truths at all until they are seen in the structure. And just see the skeleton, so to say, of the subject. So that a structural consciousness doesn't read, so to say, the Bible or the textbook as 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7. He does this in the beginning. But finally he sees this is a laborious way, and yet it may not give us the truth. Only when I go far back to the perspective of seeing the whole textbook as a whole, and see from there the structure, then from the structure that I have seen, I see each fact, each sentence in the textbook from the point of view of that wholeness. And that's quite a different concept. Quite different. So, I don't know if I have made that clear enough, but I just try to show with this example the value, the practical value, so to say, of a structure of consciousness instead of just a linear consciousness or a functional consciousness or even an operational consciousness, because operational consciousness leads very naturally to the structural consciousness. So a structural consciousness, we could say, makes, so to say, the many, many, many truths irrelevant, or let's say secondary and no more primary. It makes structure primary. But structure is not something which you can read in the book, you see? It is not, I mean, you cannot read it as black and white text. It is that which keeps the things together, that makes structure. And therefore, only the moment consciousness is open for structure, it can see structure in the textbook. Just as only then I can understand Hamlet, when I have the consciousness of Shakespeare, then I can read Hamlet as he wants to read it and as he presented it. And so if we open our consciousness to a structural consciousness and what it implies, and wonderful enough, you see, we have been given the categories making up the structure, namely the seven and the four and so on, so that with that sense we get quite a different view at it. So, to repeat it again, see, a structural consciousness throws overboard, so to say, the facts, and only sees the skeleton structure. It is, therefore, a very simplifying process. Now, what structure is? I don't really know. I don't really know. It looks as if nobody knows. It is only so that everybody speaks about structure today. The psychology speaks about structure. He calls it Gestalt psychology. But physicists only talks about structure. Only structure. The chemist only talks about structure. Everybody talks about structure. And everybody is honest enough to say, this is something which we feel, but which we can't quite definitely yet define. It has so much to do with system, and yet it isn't system. It is something much more than system. It is as if system would only be the skeleton of a human body, and structure would be the whole stuffing in it, and the whole organization in it, and keeps the whole body going. That's a very bad illustration. But I just want to go out from the sense that structure is something which one just can't tell and say, look, this is it. So I try from various sides to clarify it to myself. And perhaps the way I can do it and clarify it, I think we just put that out for a moment. The way I can clarify it is by going back to the traditional thinking and see what is the difference between the traditional logic and reasoning and thinking and a structural consciousness. Well, we all have been educated, so to say, in the old classical way of thinking, in the Aristotelian you say, Aristotelian way, from Aristotle's way of thinking. He was the one that took that method of having syllogisms, of having premises and stating premises clearly, and from the premises drawing the conclusion. You know that Mrs. Eddy uses that method also. It's a great way of deduction, of having stated right premises and then deduce from the right premises. Or we have been molded by the inductional method, which has been brought up by John Stuart Mill, and he showed you can go out really from observation. From observation, make general hypotheses, then try on experimenting if these hypotheses are right, and if they prove right and testing it, then see that this hypothesis is right and therefore a theorem. This was more or less those two great ways of thinking which we have been born in, deduction, induction. And its value was that with this we could really dissect any subject. Dissect it and dissect it and dissect it from the deductional way, right from the top to the bottom, right down to the smallest. And the result of it was that we have a lot of specialists who know a lot about nothing. They have lost, through that deductional way, really the comprehensive sense, and so they don't know anymore when they come to further and further deduction what is the function of something within the whole. See, like Buckminster Fuller said, well, the whole chemistry of a toenail doesn't say anything about man, and yet it belongs to man. Or, as we have seen with that film, we can dissect and dissect and dissect to the smallest, and yet, the more we dissect, the less we know what it is all about. So one has begun to see that this is not really a good way, neither deduction nor induction, and so science tries a new way, a third way, and that's the structural thinking. Now, what is that structural thinking in the whole? It is like, see, mostly when one wants to know something about science, one should start about artists, because usually the artists have a flair for what's coming. They somehow, the good artists have somehow a flair of a higher level of consciousness than the exact scientists. And they always, the artists, the real artists, they always operate neither on deduction nor on induction. They operate on structure. If a composer, say, composes something, he has first the whole structure somehow in view, or in his ear, or in his feeling, or in his, I don't know what I can call, he has the whole. A composer doesn't start with a tone. And say, now, which one shall I take next? I have a whole range I could take next, you see. All right, let's take this one next. And then this one next. You see, he isn't working in the additive way, in the logical way. He has the whole, so to say, already finished, and goes out from the whole. He catches the whole melody, then works from top to bottom, further down, to bottom, further down, and brings always the whole into every detail. He doesn't, so that every part of the whole, the whole. A part of such a composition is not something which is by itself finished and can stand alone. But it always reflects in one way or the other, in a restructured way or the other, reflects the whole. And the same is true, say, with the musician who plays it. He can't just go from one note to the other and just religiously play one note as they come along. He has to have the whole in view in order to play the right first note and the second note. Or he doesn't give to the part the touch, the atmosphere of the whole. And that's structural consciousness. That's structural consciousness. Now, in the scientific world, people have lost that very much. The logical reasoning, the classical reasoning has taken it away and has, through our education, also taken from us that sense. So that we have, something is very deeply engraved in our consciousness that we have either to do it through induction or deduction, and no more through that structural sense. And therefore I feel that we have somehow to consciously awake to it and consciously feel our way to this structural consciousness. You can see something more about this, which I think is most important. Namely, only if one goes out from that comprehensive sense of structure, only then can we really put the right question. And that's saying a lot. We go around in the world, the day is long, the year is long, and each minute brings us new questions, brings us a new situation, puts us before a new situation. And if we don't know how to put the right question, we are just running after something which doesn't exist. Because a wrong question cannot be answered. Let's keep that in mind. A wrong question finds no answer. Therefore, how can we put a right question? We think this is the most natural thing, that it is being born into us right from the cradle, that whatever we ask is the right question. It's only a question. But if it is right or wrong, this is another thing. Therefore, see, we relieve us again of all those questioning and questions and questions and questions and questions and questions which we are bombarded and bombarded day in and day out, which just doesn't amount to anything. The only right questions are those questions which go out from the structure of the whole. And only from that point of view they can be answered aright. For a Christian science practice, this means an awful lot. This means everything. Because practically every patient that comes along with a wrong question. And we try to answer it. Why? Why should we? Why should we? He comes and puts in 99.9% of per mil a wrong question. A question which is just as narrow as that, because it concerns its personal eye. Therefore it goes out from a wrong standpoint. It doesn't go out from the bigness and structure of being. And therefore that struggle, that fight, that heaviness, that burden of life. Our whole life would be much more burdenless. Can you say that? Burdenless? Unburdened. You see, could be unburdened. If you would ask the right question. And the right question can only be asked from the top. So, let's, the next one, please, see how we could define structure. I said it is very difficult in the term of the scientist to find it clear. So I tried to take as simple as possible a version that would give us a clue to what structure is. Structure comes from structura, and that means to arrange or to fit together. To arrange or to fit together. Now, I have put in red system because it's very, very difficult, so to say, to see the great difference between system and structure. I would say, well, if there is a great difference between system and structure, then it would be very easy to say, what the difference is. The trouble is, I can't. But I think we will get the rhythm of it. The system is to place together, not to fit together. See? This is one point. If I place something together or fit it together, is a great difference. See, if I place together what I had here, just the one, the two, the three, and so on. See, if I just place them together, it's something very different than if I fit them together. Sorry. If I just place them together and say, here is one, two, three, they must come in this order, it's something very different than if they fit into a whole skeleton, into a whole structure. So structure is not just placing together as one has it in a system, but it's the fitting. The Webster says this, and this is quite a good definition already. It says, it is the interrelationship. It has to do with interrelationship, not just placing together, of parts, as dominated by the general character of the whole. It's not just placing together as I did it, for instance, when I had shown the globe with its longitude and latitude. There we have placed together all those points which belong to one latitude or to one longitude, but without considering the whole. But here, when we have to do with structure, we always see the relationship of parts, of each part, within the general character of the whole. You see here something, as I said, of a composer, that he has always felt the whole in you, and that every part of his composition must reflect somehow the whole, every part, and not just put together tones, put together some chords and so on, but each one must in some way be dominated by the whole. And it is the relationship. Now the relationship is something which again you cannot state, it is that which is in between the facts.